Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Avraham Shur. Meseches Chagiga has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Dovi Merenstein as a zchus for their children.
Chagiga Daf Yudtes. The Gemara on Daf Yudches Mebeis brings a braisa that says that when one does Netilas Yadayim, he needs to have Kavana. Without Kavana, his hands do not become Tahoris. And the Gemara asks the stira between that and another braisa which says, Bein Niskaven, Bein Loi Niskaven, Yadav Tahoris. To that, the Gemara answers, Amar of Nachman, Loi Kasha, Kan Lechulin, Kan Lemaiser. The braisa that says that Netila works without Kavana is talking about Chulin, and the braisa which says that you need to have Kavana is talking about Meiser. Toisfis in Dibra Maschol, Kan Lechulin, Kan Lemaiser, says that since the Gemara is telling us that for Meiser you need to have Kavana, so certainly for Truma you need to have Kavana. Which means that if a person were to wash his hands and not have Kavana, and then he would touch Truma, presumably that Truma would become Pusel, because Yadayim without Netila are Shniyos, they have a din of a Sheni L'tumah. A Sheni L'tumah touching Truma Pusels the Truma, makes it a Shlishi, which is Pusel. So Tosfos asks, based on this, the following question. It says in the Gemara in Brachos Daf Nun Alf Mebeis that the Shita of Beis Shammai is that one should wash their hands before being Moizig the Kois. That means that by a Suda, there's Machlokes, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, what do you do first? Do you pour the Kois or do you wash your hands? Beis Shammai say, first wash your hands. The reason is, because im yimzigu es ha-kois, if the person were to be moizik, the kois, before washing his hands, then imagine if there's some mashke that's on the outside of the kois, his hands are tameis, they're shniyos, he didn't wash them yet, and he'll make those mashkim tameis. Hands which are shniyos, the pasal truma, they make mashke that they touch into a rishon l'tumah. Because that is the rule that kol ha-poisel es ha-truma, anything that has the capacity to pasal truma, is metame mashkin liyos tchila. It turns mashke into a rishon l'tumah. It's a special din d'rabbanan. And therefore, we're worried that there's going to be mashkin on the outside of the kais. It's going to become tame from the person's hands. And then, in turn, that mashke is going to be metame the kais. Because another din d'rabbanan is that mashkin, which is a tchila, which is a rishon l'tumah, mid'rabbanan is metame the kais. Even though midairaisa, a kli, can only be mekabel tumah from an av ha-tumah, a rishon l'tumah doesn't have the yecholes to be metame adam v'kelim. Nevertheless, midrabanan, they were geyser that mashkin, even though they're original tuma, are metame kelim, gzeir mishum, mashkin of azov, which are an avatuma. So this is why Beis Shammai tell you to do Netilas Yadayim first. So now asks Tosfos, every single time a person washes his hands for the purposes of chulin, the din is that the netila does not work for meiser or truma, because you need kavana for meiser and truma. In which case, these yadayim, although he did wash his hands, are still not Torah legabi truma, so they're poisel satruma. Since they're poisel satruma, they should be included in the rule that kol poisel satruma mitame mashkin li is tchila, and then they're still going to be mitame the mashkin that's on the outside of the kois, and then that mashkin will go in turn and be mitame the kois. So what exactly do we help the situation by telling you to do netilas yadayim first? Even if you do netilas yadayim first, you're still going to be mitame those mashkin. This is Tosfos' kasha. Answers Tosfos, the kivan did not al yadav lechulin, since he washed his hands for chulin, loy pasel truma, his hands will no longer pasel truma. However, Tosfos doesn't explain why that's true. The Gemara just said, kan lechulin, kan lemaiser, which sounds like if you don't have kavana for meiser, then your netil doesn't work for meiser, and huadin, and kol shekain for truma. Tosfos brings a raya that it has to be true, because he says, di loy tema achi, ein lecha adam, af chaver oichel chulin betahara, shlo yitame mashkin. Whenever a person eats chulin b'tahara, he never really will be successful in eating that chulin b'tahara because it'll be metame mashkin, since his hands, when he washed them only for chulin, are tame le'inyin truma. So it has to be, says Tosfos, that your hands will not pasel truma after netila, but we don't understand why that is true. So there are various explanations in the Mefarshim as to what Tosfos actually means. The Tosfos Yomtif over here on the Mishnah of Hatoiva Lechulin, V'Hochsik Lechulin, Aser Lemaiser, says that the rule that you need to have Kavana is only true with regards to Tevila and not to Netila. Ligabe Netila, if a person washed his hands for Chulin, then they're Tahar even Ligabe Truma. So no longer do we have the Kasha that those hands are Poisel Satruma, because they're not. Now, although this teretz is somewhat meduyik in the lashonis of the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says noitlan liyadayim lechulan lemaisa lechuma lekodesh etc., and then it says hatoyvel lechulan vehuchsik lechulan aser lemaiser. So when the Mishnah discusses the kavana that one has to have, it only discusses it in the context of the inyan of tevila and not netila. Up until where it says taval v'lehuchsik ki'ilu le'taval, which is all talking about tevila. So as far as the Mishnayos go, this is very meduyik. The problem, though, is that the Braisa that we just learned that prompted the Gemara to say Kan Lechulin, Kan Lemaiser was talking about Netila. Hanoitel Yodav Niskaven Yodav Tahoris, Lo Niskaven Yodav Tmeis. And this is a kasha that the Rashash asks on the Tosis Yom Tov. So the Sfasemis answers in defense of the Tosis Yom Tov that it's true that the Braisa says Hanoitel Yodav Niskaven Yodav Tahoris, Lo Niskaven Yodav Tmeis. That's referring to a person who wasn't Niskaven at all. The second braisa that says bein niskaven bein lo niskaven yodav tahoris is also talking about where the person wasn't niskaven at all. That's where the Gemara draws the distinction between chulin and meiser. If a person wasn't niskaven at all, then his hands are only tahoris le'inyan chulin and not le'inyan meiser and kol shekein truma. But suppose the person did have kavana, he just only had kavana le'inyan chulin, then it would help legabe meiser and truma. The Mishnah that says that you have to have kavana dafka for meiser or dafka for truma is talking about tevila, like the Tosis Yom Tov said. So the Tosis Yom Tov, as the Sfas Emes, has the right to be mechalik between netila and tevila, because it's only legabe tevila that we find that you have to have kavana for that specific thing. And the chiluk of the Gemara between chulin and meiser is still kayim, because that chiluk is being said legabe a person who didn't have kavana whatsoever. The Rishash mentions this in passing as a possibility, but he rules it out as far as the kavana of the Tosis Yom Tov, because he says that the Tosis Yom Tov put his pirish on the words tavav loy huchzik ki ilu loy tavel, and that's where he says his distinction. But this is the way that Sfas Emes learns b'das the Tosis Yom Tov. So that is mahalach number one in understanding Tosfos, who say that if a person was natal yodav lechulin loy pasal truma, the reason is because legabi netila you don't have to have specifically das le'inyan truma. If you had das for chulin, it's enough. It's only legabi tevila that you have to have that das le'inyan truma. Another mahalach in explaining Tosfos is found in the Tosfos Chadashim over there in the Mishnayos, and the Marsha over here on the Tosfos seems to take the same approach as well. And that is that when Tosfos says the kiven the natal yadav lechulin loy pasil truma, Tosfos is explaining that the whole din in our Gemara that is mechalik between chulin and meiser and truma is only a halacha legabe achilas truma, not legabe negias truma. Meaning, if a person were to wash his hands lechulin, then his hands are no longer shniyos. They no longer will pasul truma. When it says in the Braisa that he has to be niskaven, that's legabe the special halacha that you're mechuyev to wash your hands before achilas truma or achilas meiser. Legabe that halacha, if the person didn't have an intention to wash legabe meiser or truma, his hands are still tmeis. Now this, of course, only makes sense according to the Rambam's pshat in the Mishnah, as we mentioned, and the Yud Ches Mebeis, and not the Meiri's pshat. The Rambam learned that the whole noitlan deyadayim lechulin or lemeiser lechuma was talking inyan achila, and that's why the hemshich it says atoyva lechulin v'huchzik lechulin aser lemeiser could be understood legabi that special halacha of achila. But the Meiri learned that the whole Mishnah is talking about le'inyan negia, not le'inyan achila. If you learn like the Meiri, then it's impossible to say this hesber in the Braisa in order to answer Tosfos' question. So this is the second approach, how to explain the chilik that Tosfos is making. Tosfos is being mechalik between achila and negia. There is a third approach, and that is the approach of the Chazon Ish. He learns that the chilik that Tosfos is making is not one between netila and tevila. It's not a chilik between achila and negia. Rather, the chiluk that Tosfos is making is between tumah vadois and tumah that they made machmas a special maila in truma. All yadayim are a tumah vadois because Chazal were geyser tumah on yadayim. They gave it a din shniyos. Before a person does netilas yadayim lechulin, the yadayim are in the status of tumah vadois. As the Mikdash David points out in Siman Mem Hei, it's not as if because Yadayim are askaniyos, they gave it a din sofik tumah. They gave it a din tumah vadois. Aside from that, we know that if a person is noitel Yadayim le'inyan chulin, those Yadayim remain tumeyos legabe truma. This is because of a special maila of truma. Says the Chazon Ish that Tosfos is being mechalek between these two levels of tumas Yadayim. Because although, as we mentioned, the rule is kol ha-poisel es ha-truma mitame mashkin liyos tchila, anything that passels truma makes mashkin into a rishon l'tumah, the Chazon Ish says that would really depend. If a person had tumah vados on his yadayim, that type of tumas yadayim passels truma and would automatically make the mashkin that it touches into a rishon l'tumah. However, if there's no longer tumah vados on the person's hands, the status of his hands are different le'inyan mashkin. So if a person would wash his hands l'chulin, although those hands will passel truma, because the netila l'chulin does not help le'inyan truma, but that level of tumah on his hands will not make the mashkin that it touches into a rishon l'tumah. The reason for this, says the Chazon Ish, is because when you washed your hands l'chulin, the fact that you now can passel truma with those hands, the fact that those hands gabe truma are still considered shniyos and they make the truma puzzle, is because of an added maila that we have le'inyan truma, that we're not soymech on the person's shmira le'inyan truma. But if the person would now go and touch mashkin that are chulin, it would not make those mashkin into a rishon, because this special maila was said le'gabi truma and not le'gabi chulin. Therefore, says the Chazon Ish, the person in the case of the Gemara Brachis that washed his hands le'chulin, according to Beis Shammai, he already washed his hands, if he touches mashkin now that are on the outside of the kais, he's not going to make those mashkin into a rishon l'tumah, even though his hands now, since he only washed l'chulin, are legabe truma, still shnias, and they'll passel truma, but these hands will not make mashkin into a rishon l'tumah. So the Chazon Ish is saying a big chiddush, both a chiddush in din and a chiddush in the reading of the Tosfos. A chiddush in din is that he's saying that although we have a klal that kol ha-poisel es ha-truma mitame mashkin liyos tchila, anything that passels truma makes mashkin that it touches into a rishon l'tumah, that klal is not said legabe all psul truma. Because he's saying it depends. If the psul truma comes because there was some sort of tumah vadois, then we say that it also would make mashkin into a rishon l'tumah. But if the psul truma comes because of a special maila in truma, but in yin chulin we know that he did a proper netila, then it's impossible for that thing to be metame mashkin liyos tchila. And in terms of the reading of Tosfos, it's a big chiddush, because Tosfos' lashon is the kiven denatal yadav lechulin loy pasil truma. It sounds like Tosfos is saying that in our case it will not pasil truma. The Chazon Ish says no, it will pasil truma, but he says that which Tosfos says loy pasil truma means the loy karinim boy psul truma leinyan letame mashke. It's not considered enough of a psul truma legabe the din of being metame mashkin. So we have three mahalchim how to learn the teretz of Tosfos. Take a look at Mikdash David in Simen Mem Hei. He also says something along the same lines as the Chazon Ish's Pshat. To answer the Shittas HaTosfos, Ladas HaRambam. But he goes a step further. He doesn't say, like the Chazon Ish, that the chilik, when mashkim becomes tamei from a person's yadayim, and when it doesn't become tamei from a person's yadayim, is dependent on whether it's a tumah vadois, or it's a tumah only machbas, a special maila in truma. Rather, he's mechalik between whether the yadayim became tamei tumah vados, or they are stam yadayim. He understands that stam yadayim would not make mashkin into a rishon l'tumah, even though stam yadayim are mitame truma. That is a chiddush that the Chazon Ish does not want to accept. The Gemara, when trying to prove that le'inyan chulin, a person doesn't have to have kavana, brings the Mishnah Mikvois about a gal shenitlash uboy arboim sa. A gal is a wave. The wave falls onto the person, and the Gemara discusses whether the person had kavana or did not. So you see from the Gemara that in order for a person to become tahar from a wave, there has to be 40 saw in that wave. Now, we have to ask the following question. The Torah says, Ach mayon ubar mikve mayim yia tahar. There are two oifanim for a person to be mitahar himself. One is by being toivel in a mikveh. A mikveh mayim usually means 40 saw of rainwater which gathers together to form a still body of water. A mayon, on the other hand, usually denotes a spring, or a mayim chayim, a place which is a constant source of water. Now, generally speaking, these two dinim, a mayon and a mikveh, differ in two ways. Number one, a mikveh has a shear of arboim sa. A mayon does not. A mayon is mitaher b'kol shehu. Number two, a mikveh has to be ba'ashboirin, which means that it's not mitaher b'zoichlin when the water is running, when it's moving. It has to be still. Ba'ashboirin means that it's gathered together. It is still water. Now, a gal, a wave from the sea, what din does that have? Does this have a din of a mikveh or of a mayon? From the fact that it says uboy arboim sa, it would be mashma that we're treating this like a mikveh. But if we're treating it like a mikvah, then how does it have the right to be mitayer bezoichlin while it's moving? So this seems to be an inherent theory in the Mishnah. As much as you tell me that ubay arbaim so, it has to be arbaim so, which means it's a mikvah, so then why is it mitayer bechlal while it's moving? There are three basic mahalchim given to answer this question. The Rabbeinu Tam, which is brought in the Tshuvas HaRashba in Chelik Dalet, Simin Shin Yud Ches, and in the Teres HaBayis, Bayis Vav Shar Zayin, is of the opinion that the Yam has a halacha of a Mayon. And then we understand why it's Metaher B'Zoichlin, why it could be running water. Why then does it say Uboy Arboim Sa, if a Mayon is Metaher B'Kol Shehu? Says the Rabbeinu Tam that from here would be a riot to the chiddush of the Rosh. The Rosh has a chiddush that even though a mayon is metayer b'kol shehu, that chiddush is not said legabe adam. An adam who's metayer with a mayon needs arboim so. So that is mahalach number one. A gal shenitlash has a din of a mayon. The reason why you need arboim so is because adam needs arboim so. Mahalach number two, and this is mentioned by the Tosfos Chadashim over there on the Mishnah Mikvois, in Perikei Mishnah Zayin, that the exact opposite is true. The gal shenitlash has a din of a mikvah. And now we understand why you would need arboim so. Why then is it mitaher b'zoichlin? Says the Tosfos Chadashim, this is not called zoichlin, because zoichlin, as opposed to Ashboirin, is not measured by whether it's actually moving or not. Rather, the special din that a mikvah requires Ashboirin just means that the mikvah has to have 40 sa' in one place. As opposed to a mayan doesn't have 40 sa' in one place. Therefore, he says, we're talking about a gal that has an entire 40 sa' in that gal. Because, he says, as soon as the gal was separated from the yam, it gets its own din of a mikveh. And since there are 40 sa' in the gal itself, he says it's mechubaran biyachad chibur gomer, the entire gal is like one entity. Mali shehem ba'ashboirin bikarka oy ba'avir. Why do we care if they're gathered together on the ground or if the water is gathered together in the air? Now the Tiferes Yisrael over there is very unhappy with the way that Tosfos Chadashim is explaining. Because he says that where do you ever find that you could be mitaher as a mikvah with the water falling on the person? Part of the din of the mikvah is that the person has to go into the mikvah. That, he says, is not called ashboirin if the mikvah falls onto the person. So it comes out that we have a very fundamental machlokes between the Tosfos Chadashim and the Tiferes Yisrael, what the din of ashboirin really is. According to the Tiferes Yisrael, the din of ashboirin is a tenai in the maisa tvila. The tzura, the way that the maisa tefillah has to be done, is dafka al yidei, the person going into the mikvah, and not the mikvah going on the person. By a mayan, you could have the mayan going onto the person. The din of ashboirin is that the person needs to enter the mikvah. The mikvah has to be still, and the person enters the mikvah. Masha'enkein, the Tosfos Chadashim understands that the din of ashboirin is not a halacha in the maisa tefillah. It's a halacha in the cheftza of the mikvah, that it has to be 40 sa' in one place. That is the difference between a mayan and a mikvah. Ashboirin merely means that you need to have the 40 sa' all in one place, but the tzura, how it's metayer the person, could be al yidei the mikvah falling onto the person, just like the person entering the mikvah. So far we have two approaches. We have that of the Rabbeinu Tam, that the gal still has a din of a mayan. It's just that it needs 40 sa because Adam needs 40 sa. And we have the approach of the Tosfos Chadashim, that the gal has a din of a mikvah, and the reason why it could be metayer bezoichlin is because this is not really called zoichlin, this is called ashboirin, since you have 40 sa in one place. The Bach in Yerideya, Simon Reish Aleph, in Dibra Maschul Mashakosev Avol Zorak, explains as follows. He understands that the gal has a din like all yamim. Yamim, we know, are metayer bezoichlin. The reason why the Tosfos Chadashim held that it's not metayer bezoichlin, and he had to give the teretz that it's considered ashboirin because it's 40 sa in one place, is because he says that since the gal was nitlash, it was separated from the yam, it no longer has the din of a yam, and therefore it's not metayer bezoichlin. The Bach understands that it does have the din of a yam. It's metayer bezoichlin. Why then does it need 40 sa? Says the Bach, that the fact that a yam has a din of a mayan is only le'inyon le'tayer bezoichlin. It's not that it really has a halacha of a mayan. the halachic category of a yam is really like a mikveh. The fact that it's metayr bezoichlin and it doesn't have to be still is because the Torah called the yam a mikveh, despite the fact that the yam moves. The pasuk in Bereishis says lo mikveh hamayim kara yamim, and therefore it doesn't bother us that it's moving. So a yam is actually a middle category between a mikveh and a mayon. It doesn't suffer from the problem of Zoichlin, but yet he says it still needs 40 sa, because it's not metayr b'kol shehu like a mayan. That's only aloch and a mayan. This is really a mikveh. It's a mikveh with a special din that it's metayr b'zoichlin. The raya to this is that a zav who needs a mayan dafka cannot be toivel in a yam. The way that the other mefarshim who understand that this does have a din of a mayan, like the Rabbeinu Tam, would deal with the fact that a zav cannot be metayr atzmoy in a yam would have to be because there's a special halacha that you need mayim chayim. A zav needs mayim chayim, so even though it has a halacha of a mayon, but it's not mayim chayim. However, the Bach is understanding that a yam does not really have the din of a mayon. It only is similar to a mayon in that it's metayr bezoichlin because of a special gzeres hakosev. So we now have three ways of explaining the din of the gal shenitlash. Both the Tos Chadashim and the Bach understand that a gal shenitlash is metayr a person like a mikveh. The reason why the gal shenitlash doesn't suffer from the problem of zoichlin, according to the Tos Chadashim, it's because it has 40 someone place. According to the Bach, it's because a yam has a special gzeres hakosev that zoichlin is not a problem because the Torah called it a mikveh despite the fact that it's moving. The Vilna Gaon in the Bir Agra in Siman Reish Aleph in Yerideya in Sifkotin Tzadik Aleph says that the reason why a mayon is metaher bezoichlin, the reason why a mayon does not have to be still water in order to be metaher, and a mikveh has to be still in order to be metaher, is gufa because zoichlin einan mitstarfin lememsa. He says flowing water is not considered a tziruf to each other. So not considered as if you have a body of water of memsa to be toivelin. Therefore, he says, since a mayan has the kula that you could be metaher b'kol shehu, it doesn't need the shir of arboim sa, it therefore is metaher b'zoichlin. It's metaher as it's moving. Masha'en kein, a mikveh which needs arboim sa cannot be metaher bezoichlin, it needs ashbarin. So he's learning that it's not as if there are two differences between a mayon and a mikveh on a fundamental level. It's really all one difference. The difference is that a mikveh needs arboim sa, and a mayon doesn't need arboim sa. A mayon is metaher b'kol shehu. Because of that difference, we have the other difference that a mikveh needs ashbarin. It needs to be all in one place, because if it's not all in one place, then it's not considered as if you have arboim sa together. Since it doesn't need to be arboim sa, therefore we don't mind that it's moving. Asks Reb Shimon in the Shara Yosher, from the sheet of the Rabbeinu Tam that we just mentioned, how does the Rabbeinu Tam explain the inyan of the gal shenitlash in our sugya? He says that a gal shenitlash is really like a mayon, because it's considered part of the yam. The question that we asked was, so why does it need arboim sa? Answers the Rabbeinu Tam, al pi the Rosh, who says that even by a mayon, a person needs to have arboim sa. So he is of the opinion that the gal shenitlash is called a mayon. Why does he consider it a mayon? Because he sees that it's metayr bezoichlin. If it's a mikveh, then it would not be metayr bezoichlin. So you see that it's possible for something to be metayr bezoichlin. It does not need to be bashboirin. It doesn't have to be still, and yet requires arboim sa. So you see, not like the Gra, who says that the whole reason why a mikveh needs to be still water, as opposed to a mayim, which is allowed to be zoichlin, is because a mayan is metayr b'kolshu, so it doesn't have to be connected to the other drops of water, and a mikveh needs arboim sa, and that's why it has to be still. For Rabbeinu Tam, clearly you see not like that, because he's saying that although this thing is metayr b'zoichlin, it still needs arboim sa. So clearly the kula of a mayan, that it's allowed to be metayr b'zoichlin, is not a product of the fact that it's metayr b'kol shehu. Here we have something, it's not metayr b'kol shehu, you need arboim sa, and yet it's metayr b'zoichlin. That is Reb Shimon's kasha. Reb Shimon gives a fascinating answer. He says that there are two separate halachas of the requirement of arboim sa. The fact that a mikveh needs arboim sa, and the fact that an adam by a mayon, lefi the Rosh, needs arboim sa, are two independent halachas and cannot be compared to each other. Because he says that the din that a mikveh needs arboim sa is a halacha in the koyach hamitaher of the mikveh. A mikveh does not have the koyach to be mitaher unless it has the shear of arboim sa. Masha'enkein, the din, that according to the Rosh, a Maya needs to have Arboim Sa to be Metairin Adam, is not a halacha in the Koyach HaMetahir of the Mayan. A Mayan's Koyach HaMetahir is B'kol Shehu. And even to be Metairin Adam, in principle, it really is enough for it to have a Kol Shehu. The reason why you need Arboim Sa for an Adam, even by a Mayan Lafi the Rosh, is a halacha in the Adam, because there's a din that you have to have Mayim Shekol Gufay Oyla Behen. Since your average person fits into a volume of 40 sa, there's a halacha that was said in the Tevila Sa'adam that it requires 40 sa. Memela says Reb Shimon, the fact that the Goyin says that the reason why a mikveh is not allowed to be mitar bezoichlin, the reason why it needs to be still water, is gufa because it needs to have 40 sa, and when something is zoichlin, it's not considered attached to each other, is only true over there, where the koyach hamitaher is coming from arboim sa. A mikveh is lacking the koyach hamitaher unless it has arboim sa. The level of chibur, the level of connection that zoichlin has to each other, is a lower level. It's a weaker chibur than the chibur of ashboyin, of still water. The Torah requires a stronger connection between the drops of water in order to establish the koyach hamitaher. But once you have the koyach hamitaher, like you do in a mayon, and all you need arboim sa'a for is because there's a halacha in the person that he needs to have all arboim sa'a together in order that it should be mayim shekol gufay oyla behen, it doesn't bother us that there's a weaker connection between the drops of water. Because even on that level of connection, it's kol gufay oyla behen. The water will cover his entire body. Since kol gufay oyla behen is not a halacha in the chshivas of the mikvah, it's only a halacha that the person has to be fully immersed. He is fully immersed, even on that smaller level of chibur. So weird, it's a kashrus of the mikveh issue. You need to give the mikveh the koyach hametaher. The Goyin tells us that you don't have the koyach hametaher unless there's a strong chibur between the drops. That we can understand. You need a stronger chibur. But if the reason why you need arboim sa is not because you have to give it the koyach hametaher, it's only because the person has to be fully immersed. Since he is fully immersed, when there's the smaller level of chibur, it will help. Now the Gemara had brought down this din of Galshe Nitlash to prove that Chulin does not need Kavana for Tvila. Because what happened in that Galshe Nitlash, it fell on a person and on Kalim. They're all Tahar. The Gemara says, doesn't that mean that Adam Dumya de Kalim, Ma Kalim de Loi Mechavni, Af Adam de Loi Mechavin, that both Adam and Kalim both were not having Kavana, and you see that Tvila helps without Kavana. And the Gemara says, there's no Raya. Mimai, Dilma B'yoshev, Mitzapa, Emesai Yitlash Agal. And the Gemara says you could switch it around. The Kalim Dumi da Adam, just like Adam is a bar kavana, af Kalim de Mechavan Lahu, the person had kavana. Asks the Gemara, well, if you're going to say that the person was Yeshiv Mitzape, was waiting for the gal to fall on him, then Maila Memra, what's the Chiddush? So the Gemara gives two possible Chiddushim. Salkadai Techamina, Ligzer Dilma, Asi Lemitvo Bechard Lashel Gshamim. If we allow a person to stand underneath a wave and become tar with the waves falling on him, then maybe somebody is going to think that you could do the same thing with a very heavy downpour of rain. Kamash Malan, that we don't make that gzera. Inami nigzer rushin otu kipin, kamash Malan de loy gazrina. I might think that you would make a gzera of rushin, one of the ends of the wave. Otu kipin, the part where the wave is curved like a kippa, the part that's suspended in the air, because there you're not allowed to be toivel, kamash malon, that we don't make such a gzeru. So you see from the Gemara that you're not allowed to be toivel in the part of the wave that's all the way up in the air. The Gemara asks, Minot tamer le matbilim bekipin, how do we know that? The Tanya matbilim berushin ve'ein matbilim bekipin, lefi she'ein matbilim ba'avir. You're not allowed to be toivel ba'avir. Why is this? Rashi says she'ein matbilim ba'avir shloi amra Torah mikveh shel avir l'tevila. Rashi understands when the Torah said ach mayin ubar mikveh mayim yeh tohar, the Torah was geyser that a mikveh has the koyach to be metayer a person. The Torah was not referring to a mikveh that's suspended in midair. The Kesef Mishnah in Perek Tesuchos Mikvois Halacha Yud Ches explains that what Rashi means is that since the derech is for a mikveh to be not suspended in mid-air. So when the Torah was referring to a bar mikveh mayim, the Torah was not referring to this type of mikveh, a mikveh that has water in midair. However, the Rambam explains over there in Hilchos Mikvos that the reason why you cannot be toivel bekeepin in the part that's suspended is because ein toivlin bezoichelin. The Rambam understands that it's being up suspended in midair is a chsarin in the din ashboirin that a mikveh needs. A mikveh, like we said, needs to be still water. If it's suspended in air, it's about to fall. That is not called ashboirin. That is called zoichelin. It's moving water. Moving water is something that you cannot use for a mikveh. Asks the Kesef Mishnah, wait a minute. We know that a yam is mitayr bezoichelin. So obviously, a yam has a din of a mayon. So how could the Rambam say that by the gal you can't be metayer bekeepin because it's not metayer bezoichlin? The yam is metayer bezoichlin. So if you learn, like we explained earlier, that as soon as the gal is nitlash, it no longer is considered part of the yam. And the only reason why it's metayer is because it itself has 40 saw, then there's no kasha on the Rambam. Because this thing can't be metayer bezoichlin. And that's how the Bach in the piece that we mentioned earlier explains the Rambam. However, the Kesef Mishnah himself answers the Rambam, and he explains that it is only Gzeirah D'Rabbanan. Really, this gal has a din of a mayon, and as such, it has the right to be metayer bezoichlin as well. The problem, though, is that people are going to look and see that he's being metayer himself with the keeping, with the part that's suspended in air, and he's going to come to be toivel in megishamim that is also in a large quantity. The Gemara finally brings a raya that you do not need kavana for tevila from a different Mishnah. It says, "Peiris shenaflu l'seich amas amayim upashat mishi yodav temeyes v'notlon yodav tohoiris." Somebody stretched his hands out to take peiris that fell into the water, so his hands become tohoiris upeiris einon b'chiyutan. Which means that the person's hands become tahar. That's because you don't need to have kavana. That's the Gemara's raya. The second half is that the peiris are not hukshru l'kabal tumah. The rule is that oichel does not become hukshru l'kabal tumah unless one of the shiva mashkin goes on the peiris, and the shiva mashkin has to be mashkin that you're nichale, that you're happy about. Either that you're happy that they went on the peiris, or at least that at the point when they became detached from the body of water, there was rotzin on behalf of the person, he wanted the water to be detached. And that's why the Gemara says in the Hemshech that if im bishvil sheyutchu yodav, yodav tohoiris. If the person also had kavana when he took the peiris, that his hands should get washed off with the water, then that water is a din of nichale, he wants the water to be on his hands, and if it later on goes onto the peiris, it's machshir the peiris lekabel tumah. Now the Rashba in Chulin, daf lamed aleph mebeis, is medayek the following from this Gemara. Since the Lashon is upashat mi sheyodav temeyos v'notlon, it sounds like that it doesn't necessarily have to be the bailim who is putting his hands into the water and taking out the peiris, because it should have said upashat bailim es yodam. Since it says upashat mi sheyodav temeyos v'notlon, it's mashba that any person who would do this act would be machshir the peiris lekabel tumah in the event that he had rotzin for the water to wash his hands. So he says, you see, that to be machshir oichel lekabel tumah, you do not need to be the bailum of that oichel. However, he brings that the Rambam argues in this. The Rambam holds that in order to be machshir oichel, to be mekabel tumah, you have to be the bailum. The Rambam is in Hilchos Tumas Oichlin, Perek Yudbeis, Halacha Aleph. What is the hesber in the machloikes between the Rashba and the Rambam? So from the Ktsois in Simen Tav Vav, it would be mashma that the hesber in the Shittas HaRambam is because there's a rule called Ein Adam Oyser Dover She'ena Shaloi. One person cannot halachically affect something that belongs to his friend. So why is it that the Rashba would argue on this? We have a klal of Ein Adam Oyser Dover She'ena Shaloi. Why would he say that it's possible to be machshir somebody else's thing lekabel tumah? So one hesber we could say is Alpi Reb Kiveger, who writes in the Hashmatis in Shulchan Aruch in Erechaim Simen Reish Nun Gimel, a very important rule in understanding when we apply the principle of Ein Adam Oseh Dover She'ena Shaloi and when we don't. He breaks it up into three categories. He says that Al Yidei Maise, we know that Adam Oseh Dover She'ena Shaloi. The example of such a thing would be if, let's say, I take a piece of treif meat and mix it into my friend's chont. Even though I'm the one who did it, Nevertheless, I can aser his cholent. And that is very simple to understand, because it's not me who's doing it. It's the meat that's asering the cholent. I just happen to be the one who delivered the meat into the cholent. So there, of course, we don't have the principle of ein adam oiser dover shene shaloi. When it's not the adam who's doing it, we don't care that he's not the bailo. On the other side of the spectrum, we have things that are only the person and not done al yedei ha'maisa. The example of that, says Reb Kiveger, is like a person who worships his friend's animal as an avodah zarah. There, he doesn't have the ability to aser it and make it become avodah zarah, because that's totally tully in the person's lave, in the fact that I was mekabel it as an avodah zarah. I didn't change the chefza in any way. So since over there, I am the total oiseh, I am the one who's at work, I'm the driver's seat, I can't do it if it doesn't belong to me. However, there is a middle category, not where a maisa alone is what asers, and not where the person's machshava alone asers, rather when you need both the maisa and the machshava. The example that Veger brings for that is the case of kilayim. The halacha is that when you have wheat growing together with grapes, it becomes nesar medin kilayim, but only when you have the consent to the nichusa of the bailum. What happens if somebody is mesachech gefanoi al gabi tvuasa shel chaveiroi? He puts his vine on top of his friend's wheat. The Gemara in Yevamos Daf Pei Gimel applies the principle of ein adam oiser dover she'ena shaloi. Asks Tosfos, why is this any different than noisei nevela oichelev betafshel shechaveiroi? A person puts a treif, a piece of meat, into his friend's cholent, it becomes usser. Tosfos answers, "Bedavar hatoli b'machshava hu da amar hachi, kigoyin mishtachave l'beimis chaveiroi." And Tosfos goes on to explain that even though you sometimes do have a maisa involved, since the chalois is dependent on machshava, you therefore apply the principle of ein adam oiser davar she'ena shaloi. Because Tosfos says there is a man d'yomer that not only somebody who worships his friend's animal, he cannot aser it. Even if the person does some sort of maisa, like if he does a shechita, there is a man d'yomer says that he cannot aser it, because that involves both a maisa and a machshava. Therefore, says Tosfos, the iser kelayim, since it's tully on a machshava as well, it's subject to the rule of ein adam oiser davar she'ena shaloi. However, the Rash in Perek Zayin, Maseches Kelayim, brings a raya that this is not the case. The Gemara says that if a person is oisem melacha beparas chaveiroi, somebody else owns a para aduma, and I do melacha with it, so I'm pater medine adam, because it's a hezek she'ena nikker, but I'm chayav medine shemayim. Why am I chayav medine shemayim? Must be that I asered it. How did I aser it? Para is one of the things that you need nichusa of the bailum for. You have to have the consent of the person who's doing melacha with it. Must be, says the Rash, if I was successful in asering it, you see that when you have something that is dependent on the combination of a maisa and machshava and nichusa, then you do not apply the principle of ein adam oiser davar she'ena shaloi. So that's the way Reb Kiveger presents it. He says that we have machloikas between Tosfos in Yevamos and the Rash in Kelayim as to whether when you have something that's dependent on both maisa and machshava, do you apply the principle of ein adam oiser davar she'ena shaloi. Reb Kiveger uses this actually over there in Reishon and Gimel in Hilchos Shabbos to determine whether if I take off my friend's pot off of the fire, which the halacha is that if you take a pot off the fire, you cannot return it unless you have certain tenoim. One of the tenoim is that it has to be grufo ketuma, like you have to have a blech on top of the fire. According to most poiskim, a blech is considered ketima. And another tenoim is that you have to have das to put it back. If I had das not to put it back, then I am not allowed to return it. The question is, can my das help on somebody else's pot? Says Reb Kveger, since this is something that involves both a maisa and machshava, it will be subject to the machloikis between Tosis and Yevamos and the Rash in Kelayim. So we could say very simply that the same thing would hold true in our case, because hechsher lekabel tuma is also something that you need both the maisa of putting the water on the oichel, and you also have the nichusa, you have to have the consent of the bailum. It has to be ki yitain mayim ki yutan dumya de ki yitain. Chazal darshan that when the water is placed on the oichel, it has to be with consent, just like yitain. That is one hesber in the machlekes, the Rashba and the Rambam. So the Gemara's maskana is that lechulin, you don't need kavana when you go into the mikveh or you do netil sidayim. Now this idea is used by the poiskim legabe the following halacha. We all know that when a person buys a kli from a guy, he has to be toivel the kli, if it's a metal kli or if it's glass. And the question was asked of the Rashba. It's brought down in the Tshuvas Chelek Gimel, Simen Reish Nun Hei. if it helps for a guy to put the kli into a mikveh. A guy is certainly not a bar shlichus, so he can't act as my shlich. Nevertheless, says the Rashba, since we see in our sugya that for chulin you don't need kavana, so the tvila of a guy helps. Because you don't need kavana, so all you need is that it was placed into the mikveh. And the Shulchan Aruch actually paskins this in Yerdeh, in Kuf Chaf, Sif Tezvav, that if you are matbil kelim, al yudei a guy, the tvila helps. The Taz over there goes so far as to say that although the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch is only that b'diyevet, if the person was toivel ayidei a goy, the kli, it works, nevertheless says the Taz that since the Makar is this Chuvas HaRashba, and the Rashba seems to be mater l'chatchila, it would help even l'chatchila. He says that from the Rashba it's even mashba that the Yid could make a bracha on the tefila that the goy is being toivel. The Taz is not willing to be samech on that, and therefore he says that l'chatchil you shouldn't do because you'll lose out on the bracha. And he even suspects that that's why the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say a lashon l'chatchila, because l'chatchila you shouldn't do it, but not because there's a problem with the tefila, but rather because of the bracha. So even though we're not told to do this l'chatchila, the Eitzah though is used by the Tehillel David in Aruch Chaim Simreish Samach Aleph, by a person who has new kelim, he wants to use it on Yom Tif. And he realizes only on Yom Tif that they were not put into the mikveh before Yom Tif. The Tehillel David says that don't be semich on the poskim who are matter to bring them into the mikveh on Yom Tif. Rather, he says, give it to a guy. The guy will be toivel it. Even though the Taz says that you're going to lose out on the bracha, nevertheless, he says this is the best eitzah to make sure that you were toivel the kli and that you didn't violate Yom Tif on any level. The Gemara brings down a memra of Rabbi Lazar. Toval v'ola, a person who was toival and he left the mikveh, machzik atzmei l'kol ma sheyirtze. We said already in our Mishnah that the person has to choose when he's going to the mikveh what he's being toival himself for, what it is that he's becoming tohar le'inyin. So here Reb Lazar is saying that a person could decide that after he leaves the mikveh. After he goes out of the mikveh, he could say, this is what I was being toival for. Now this is a very strange idea. How is it possible, after the person finished being toivel already, to determine what the tefila helps him for? Now Tosfos in Dibra Maschil Tova V'Allah say V'Oidenu Lach. The person is still wet. And it would seem that the reason why Tosfos requires the person still to be wet is in order that it should be considered like the tefila is not really over, and that's why the person can still determine what the tefila was for. But says the Turi Evan, who cares that the person's wet? The tefila is still over. And even though this whole idea that the person has to determine what he's being toivel himself for is only a din d'rabbanan, and therefore he says you could say that that's how the rabbanan were misakin their din, that you could be machzik yourself even after the tefila, but it doesn't seem to make any sense, says the Turi Evin. Why would Chazal be misakin things that way? Usually Chazal have a certain geder that fits into some pre-existing geder that we're familiar with. So even though they told you you have to be machzik, that would seem to be a definition of how the Maaseh Tefillah has to be done. To think that you could do it after the Maaseh Tefillah doesn't seem to make any sense. So the Turi Evin learns that Reb Lazar in our sugya is really l'shitasoi. Because in Bechoris and Dafnun Vav Mebeis, we find out that Reb Lazar's shita is that yesh breira, you could be mevarer l'mafreya later what happened during an earlier chalois. It's hover adavar l'mafreya that his das was at the time that he was toivel for this specific thing. However, in the Sefer Arachama, he asks, how is it possible to apply the principle of breira over here? After all, he says, the whole idea that if you're machzik atzmai for a lower level, it doesn't work for a higher level. Like if a person is machzik atzmai l'chulin, then it doesn't help l'maiser. If it's l'maiser, it doesn't help l'truma, etc. is all because we don't trust the level of shmira that a person does le'inyan maiser for truma. And therefore, it sounds like an impossibility to say that we're going to use breira. Because even if at a later point you could try be mevar l'mafreya, what happened at the time of the tefillah, one thing we know for sure, the person didn't have in his mind at that moment to watch himself l'truma. He was only being toivel stam. So therefore the Aruch Chaim learns differently. He wants to learn that since the whole reason that when a person is huchsik for a lower level, it doesn't help for the higher level, is like we just explained, that it has to do with the shmira. So it's possible that as soon as person's finished being toivel, he could then be machzik le'inyan what he wants to. Because the whole point of being machzik is what he's going to be shomer himself from mikan ulahaba. and therefore kol zman that he wasn't mesiach das from the tvila, it helps to be machzik etz atzmoy. A similar explanation can be found in the Meroi Meisadeh. He explains b'das atoysvus, who says that b'oidei lach, it helps to be machzik etz atzmoy. He says that's because kol zman that it's oidei lach, it's considered that he's still being oisik b'oisei inyan, so he hasn't yet been mesiach das. However, the Mikdash David explains that the idea of being oidei lach is not because of hesach hadas. Rather, he understands that kol zman, the person is still lach and hasn't yet done the niguv, it's considered like the maisa tefila is not yet finished. Similar to the idea that legabe netil sidayim, we say that the person makes the bracha before he is menagev, before he dries his hands. That's because until the niguv, the netila is not really over. Now in the Sefer Evan Yisrael, he asks that if the person actually was toivel and it was loy huchsak, so there's no greater hesach hadas than that. The person was not thinking at the time of being masik himself for anything. So it sounds like he didn't have an intention to be mitayer himself. So if the issue is one of hesach hadas, then how do you get around that problem? The moment the person was toivel without any intention, he was mesiach das from this tefillah. He wasn't trying to make it be mitayer himself. Explains the Chazon Ish that of course we're not talking in our sugya at this point about somebody who wasn't mechaven for tara at all. He says Rabbi Lazar is talking about a person who had kavanah to be mitayer himself. Nevertheless, there was a kula from the Rabbanan that after he did the tefillah, he could then go and determine which category is it mitayer himself from. But the fact that he has to have kavanah lichatchila, that this is being mitayer him, that is a necessary component no matter what he does with it afterwards. The Gemara brought down a braisa that said that oidehu ragloi achas b'mayim huchsik l'dover kaom machsik atzmoy l'dover chomer. A person still has the chance to be machsik atzmoy for something different than he originally had been machsik himself if his foot is still touching the water. Says the Gemara, man tana oidehu ragloi achas b'mayim. Who is the Tana who holds that it helps since one of his feet is still touching the water? Rapidus Rabbi Yehuda. Rapidus says that this is the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanan, because Rabbi Yehuda says in the Mishnah Mikvois, Mikvah Shenimdad. If you have a mikvah that was measured, Vieshba Yabayim Samchu Vonis. There are exactly 40 saw in this mikvah. The Yardu Shnaim Vitovlu Zeacherzeh. Two people went and they were Toivol consecutively. Reuven went into the mikveh. After he left, Shimon went into the mikveh. So, Arishin Tar Vasheni Tomei. The Tanakhama says that the first person, Reuven, is Tahar, because there were 40 saw in the mikveh when Reuven went into the mikveh. But Shimon is Tomei, because after Reuven left, he took some of the water with him, and now there is no longer 40 saw exactly in the mikveh. However, Rabbi Yehuda says that it depends. Im hoyu raglav shel Rishin noigais b'mayim, af Hasheni Tahar. If Reuven's foot was still touching the water, then even Shimon is tahor. As the Gemara is going to explain, this is because of a principle called good achis. Just like legabe hilchas mechitzas, we say that a mechitza that is kosher extends itself downward and is considered as if it continues to go down to where you need it. So too, the connection that Reuven has to the water makes it as if the water that's on his body is still connected to the mikveh. Since at that point it's considered like it's still connected to the mikveh, so when Shimon goes into the mikveh, we view it as if the mikveh is still a complete 40 saw. Says the Chazon Ish in Mikvois, Madur Tanyona, Simen Dalet, Sifkat and Aleph, that this is a borrowed terminology. We don't really mean good asik or good achis in our sugya like we do ordinarily when discussing mechitzis. The real issue, he says, is that since Reuven's foot is still touching the water, if he would hold himself that way, then eventually the water that's on his body would fall into the mikveh. Rabbi Yehuda holds that since that water is on its way into the mikveh, it's considered as if it's still mechuber to the mikveh, and that's why you could still be toivel there. The Marik in Sheresh Kufnun Vav explains that according to this you see a tremendous chiddush, because as we mentioned earlier, you cannot use zoichlin for a mikveh. A mikveh has to be still water. You cannot use water that's moving. And here we're really being machshir for this mikveh, water that's on its way down. because the whole reason why the water that's on the person's body is mitztaref to the mikveh is because it eventually is going to fall down into the mikveh. Explains Marik that the reason why this is not a problem is because the psul zoichelin, he says, is only in the makam where the tevila is taking place. Since Shimon, the second person who's being toivel, is being toivel in a place where the water is staying still, he's not being toivel bezoichelin, it doesn't bother us that part of what makes up the shir arboim sov, the mikveh, is zoichelin. And that is seemingly a pella, because a mikveh has a shir of arboim sov. Al pi pashtus, that shir arboim sov is a halacha that's said in the mikveh. And one of the tanoim that a mikveh needs is that it's not zoichelin, that it's still water. So if you recall earlier in this shir, we discussed the machlokes between the Tosfos Chadashim and the Tiferes Yisrael. They were talking about the gal shenitlash. And we saw that the Tosfos Chadashim was of the opinion that the gal shenitlash is not called zoichelin simply because there are 40 sa' in one place. And we saw that the Tiferes Yisrael argues with the Tosfos Chadashim because he says that a mikveh cannot be mitahir a person al yidei falling onto the person. The person has to immerse himself in the mikveh. And we explained that the machloikis between Tiferes Yisrael and Tiferes Chadashim is a very fundamental machloikis, what the din of Ashboirin is that we find in a mikveh. Is Ashboirin a halacha in the Maisa HaTvila or in the Cheftza of the mikveh? According to the Tiferes Yisrael, the din of Ashboirin is said in the Maisa HaTvila. The water has to be stationary and the person has to go into the water. Masha'enkin and Tiferes Chadashim understood that there's no halacha in the Maisa HaTvila that it needs to be Ashboirin. Ashboirin is simply halacha in the mikveh itself. It all has to be together. So what would be if we would have a mikveh that has less than 40 sa' together, but we're mashlim the mikveh through zoichlin, water that's moving? So here's the opposite. The cheftza of the mikveh does not have the complete arboim sa' in one place. So the Tiferes Chadashim would say that that's no good. It doesn't fulfill the requirement of Ashboirin. But the Tiferes Yisrael would say that as long as the ma'isa tevila was done by immersing oneself in the mikveh, that fulfills the requirement of Ashboirin. Because after all, he said that the halacha of Ashboirin is a halacha in the ma'isa tevila. If we assume that all it is halacha in the ma'isa tevila, it's not halacha in the cheftza of the mikveh. As long as the person could do a ma'isa tevila in still water, it doesn't really bother us that the mikveh is not 40 sa' in one place. As long as you have the method of connecting it and being mashlim it to the full shear of 40 sa', it would be okay. So that way we can understand the ma'arik.
You have been listening to the shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a daf or masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.